Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We are in a wonderful place where we are doing nothing but learning how to get everything done. So, welcome to the broadcast this morning. And a very interesting thing has happened in the last days. Patricia and I, we have found out that there are things that ends that need to be tied up, and how the smallest little item is not available when you're out there, so to speak, could bring a bit of consternation in trying to get things accomplished. And I'll tell you what I mean in just a minute. I really believe if there was a word from the Lord right now to God's people at this moment, it would be tied ends to make sure that there's nothing kind of just hanging around or unsureties of any sort. I would say today is an absolute time to do some inventory, take a look, and quicken the pace. You know, I heard yesterday in my spirit while I was walking, don't finish slow, finish hard. In other words, really pour out, because if you slow down, decelerate in whatever project you're involved in, if you decelerate, something is going to happen where things aren't going to get finished. They're not going to be tidied up. So I hear in my spirit, accelerate in whatever it is you put your hand to do for the kingdom of heaven, and do it with all your might as to the Lord. The work done. Don't say, well, now we're going to slow down. You need the same path. You need the same fire, the same intensity, same everything. Don't accept anything that's not right. Get in there and finish the work, whatever it is that God is calling you to do. And do not be delayed. Remember, the threefold purpose of the devil is to still kill and destroy, but also delay, deceive, and distract. And I want to encourage you today that whatever, again, God has told you to do, don't be doing it, don't be deceived, and don't be distracted. The deception would come with, well, we're way ahead now, now we sit back and relax. That would be a deception, a great deception. We're talking about the greatest election to ever hit the face of the earth. We're talking the closer we get to that time, the closer we get. I want to share some personal information with you here. The closer we get to the time of arrival, and I want to just remind our listeners that it was back in March, I believe it was, whenever the coronavirus, and please stay with me on this, there's a reason for it, right before the coronavirus issue happened, we had received a scripture out of Isaiah chapter 47, and Isaiah 47:11 basically said, an evil was coming from where you do not know, a mischief was rising, and I'm paraphrasing, you read it for yourself, a mischief was rising, you will not be able to put it off, and sudden destruction comes. You'll remember we talked about that very scripture. The following days, coronavirus showed up on the shores of America. And so we started talking about this evil thing, i.e. what they called coronavirus, and then the inability to put it off. That was part of the scripture. And the president was saying, we want to have this thing done. We want churches open by Easter. It never happened. Nobody's been able to put it off. It still has. He gave us a scripture to detail information of what was happening. The sudden destruction is the third part of this message, which we really haven't seen as of yet. Then we went on the air and we talked about the four sword judgments of the Lord out of the book of Ezekiel. And after the four sword judgments of the Lord, we saw by another voice, Brother Michael, said that these four sword judgments were like in the four waves. And so we said, well, the first wave is this coronavirus. We said that the second wave, before it ever happened, would be anarchy and civil disobedience. And sure enough, it happened. Then we declared that the third wave would be the wave of war. And the fourth wave would be a light out scenario. So we believe that the second wave has come and is making it, it's crashed and is leaving all the foam behind, so to speak. The third wave is next. We believe that. But then came Pastor Dana Everstone. And Pastor Dana came out with a dream that he had that I heard it, obviously, resonated deeply in my spirit, not only because it complimented saying to me, but the detail of his dream seemed to be so exact. And his heart was just as exact. I felt he had a very righteous spirit about him. I didn't feel like he was doing anything. And nobody was coming out with a bunch of, you know, dreams. There were some people having dreams, but there weren't a bunch of people. Like after his dream, all of a sudden everybody's having dreams. Well, I had a couple of dreams last night too. I'm going to share them with you in just a little bit. But the bottom line is that God told us through all the different mechanisms what was coming. So now we don't want to just forget that God had told us what the days would be about. And in Pastor Dana's dream, he saw that hit the calendar in the month of November. There was a double tap in September, a double tap in October. And we've seen some double tap events, some good, some not so good. Amy Barrett, next Supreme Court Justice, getting ready to go to the highest court in the land, seems to be a very good thing on a lot of levels. There are other things that were happening along the way, like people throwing torches into police cars and stuff like that. We, you know, the level of violence that is going on in our nation and all of those things are still there. They're kind of in red and paving the way for the next wave, I believe, or the November event. And so when it comes to really getting ready and being just less than 2 weeks away now from the November and the November election, there are things that need to get done. I believe every person should vote because you have a right to vote. There are people in different lands that have no right to vote, and people fought for the right to vote. Now, whether the vote matters or not is another thing. Whether it's going to be a fraudulent event, whether your vote or my vote is going to mean anything to anybody, time will tell. But you have an opportunity to put your hand to that plow, and we should all do it. We should find out where to vote, and we should vote. Me, personally, cannot even dream. You know, regardless of deception, lies, you know, hypocrisy, I cannot fathom that a born-again, spirit-filled Christian would ever cast a vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That, to me, is the hubris of hypocrisy. I mean, it would be absolutely utter, I don't know, dysfunction of some sort. So the idea of voting off the charts. Now, maybe there's an independent. I don't think there is. Maybe there's somebody else out there. I don't know how it works. But maybe there's somebody that stands for all the moral values and principles and, from an independent party that embraces Christianity and the moral values of our nation that we grew up with, and you want to vote for that person? You can. And then people will tell you, well, if you vote for that third party, so you're taking a vote away from Donald Trump. So we've boiled everything down to a two-party system. And a lot of people said that would never be healthy for the United States to become a two-party system. Well, we have, and we are, and that's the bottom line. It's going to be Joe Biden or it's going to be Donald J. Trump. And so, born again Christian, and to make that decision, you have some hypotheses, you have some ideas, the possibility always of the elite being deceived, that there's something more going on, you know, in the presidency, et cetera, et cetera. But again, a tree is known by its fruit. And when you have over 300 conservative judges being put in the benches across America, come to the plate yet, they're supposed to do, hopefully they will at the right time, if everything goes normal. But what I'm saying is, while you while there's light, work. And work really hard. Get loose ends tied up. Get things done. Make sure that the thing that you were wanting to do a month ago is done. Make sure that what you said you wanted to do is done. Get everything done. I believe this is imperative, and I believe that we have a very short amount of time right now to get those things done. So, having said that, getting back to where we are right now with the November 5th and with the third wave, these things seem to be coming. And then the fourth wave, you know, you get to December, you get to January, you get to, you know, the winter months, February, who knows, a lights out scenario in those particular months. So will the fist produce the war? That's a really good question. And the war is coming. So my admonition to the body, and by the way, we are not broadcasting on Facebook or on YouTube or on Omega Radio today. And I let Daniel Seckham know yesterday that we would not be having a broadcast with him on it because I'm in a very sketchy place right now. And if I had him come in, it would be on Blog Talk Radio. But then again, I'm not so sure we're even going out with Ron Stolt and if others would be in. So we'll bring Daniel back on next week, see how that all goes. But right now, it's all about preparation again. And, you know, what's really cool when I say that is that we're not selling anything. We're not just saying this in a mantra. We're saying this with all sincerity right now. Don't be delayed. Don't be deceived. And don't be distracted. Finish what you started and finish strong. Don't delay. Get things done. Now, as far as last night is concerned, you know, I wondered, what are these wild dreams? Man, they're so wild. And what I want to say, and I'm not going to get into the dream, what I just want to say is I think what God was showing me in my dreams last night, and I want to share with you, you need to be extremely cautious and very careful about how you conduct yourself out in the world right now. And I am talking about your driving habits and mine. I'm talking about our shopping habits. I'm talking about how we conduct ourselves wherever we go and whatever we do. And the reason why that admonition, that exhortation, that warning, I believe came through my dreams last night is because the level of insanity, the level of violence, and a new look of people that you have not seen before. These people have been, you know, hidden away from society. You don't see these kind of people that are coming, walking or driving down the road. They're hidden. but there is a manifestation of evil. What we used to call horror movies or scary movies about the crazy person that, you know, makes their way into a neighborhood or, you know, follows somebody home. You know, all the crazy stuff that's gone on in movies that people got terrified of. People love to be made afraid of. They wouldn't sell so many terror movies. Right? So these people are not just singular individuals. A station of people who are not like you. Let me put it that way. They're not as patient as you are. They're not as kind as you are. Somebody cuts you off on the road. Not as willing to let it go as you are. There are people that while you're shopping and they're doing you, they're observing you, not like you, where you're not viewing to hurt somebody, you're not viewing to take from somebody. But there are people that are coming from every direction into society that are very evil people. And this has nothing to do with a lack of love. This has nothing to do with being afraid. This has nothing to do with emotions or, gee, that's not consistent with, you know, the idea of, you know, just love everybody. I'm telling you that these dreams, and I believe it's true anyways, a large amount of evil is coming. And I know that what we have seen, for the most part, very nice people, very good people. For the most part, with all that we've talked about for all these years, very good people. Now, I want to shift and just get into something else about why you should not, at this time, relax, nor be dismayed about what you're hearing or ignore what you're hearing about the November event, about the third wave, about war. Okay, here's the reason why. I've got some personal experience with this, okay? And anybody, in all sincerity, had an inclination to just sit back and say, nothing's going to happen in November. It's all a big show. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be flat. There's going to be no event. I'm not going to see a bunch of crime and war. You know, I would have experience explain myself. Number one, back in 2009, I was involved in some prophetic my life. From 2002 on, we were nailing things prophetically. We were saying things, they were happening. We were seeing things, they were happening. There was like this consistent pattern. We were in like the 90% bracket of accuracy in our prophetic words. And then around 2009, later part of 2008, early part of 2008, the download. I'm telling you that every single thing I heard, every single thing I saw, everything that resonated around me, I couldn't turn a corner without seeing some consistency in the theme of what I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt was going to happen. I was picking it up like a radar. I picked up every single blip. And what was it? I was standing in 2009, and I came to a belief in 2009 that there was going to be a nuclear detonation in Washington, D.C. I said it was going to happen in October, somewhere on October 10th or October 11th. And I said it was going to happen between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. That's how precise information I was picking up. If you had been in my shoes and you had been already prophetically moving and with an accuracy rate, you would have thought beyond the shadow of a doubt. The only thing I never really heard, I just assumed, was that it would happen in 2009. So I picked up this information about a nuclear bomb going off in Washington, D.C. in the month of October, probably the 10th or the 11th, between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. And I was so convinced I was telling everybody this was going to happen. Well, October, and this event, well, let me, rather than getting ahead of myself, September 28th of 2009, a friend of mine contacted me who heard me talking about this for almost 6 months. Almost 6 months, I'm declaring a nuclear strike in Washington, D.C., month October, between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. And a friend called me and said, my God, you need to see this History Channel documentary. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, well, it's the History Channel called The Day After Disaster. You can actually go online right now and find The Day After Disaster. And on September 28th, 29th, October 4th, and October 16th, the History Channel played in the year 2009 this documentary. So on September 28th, when my friends told me when this was going to play, I turned it on. We found the History Channel. We watched The Day After Disaster, and I was shocked because I was saying things prophetically about a great strike against the heart of the United States of America, and it would produce a heart attack. I was saying these verbatim sentences, and all of a sudden, this is a two-hour documentary, and what is it? It's all about a nuclear strike against Washington, D.C., and what time does that nuclear strike happen in the documentary? At 9:30 a.m. Now, I had been saying there was going to be a nuclear strike against Washington, D.C., against the heart of the nation between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. in the month of October. So here I am, September 28th, watching a two-hour documentary where at least 20 times they actually show the detonation of a nuclear bomb in Washington, D.C., and then they come up with the COG, the continuity of government plans. It's all written by Homeland Security. They're the ones that put this whole thing out. And they're all talking about the number one threat facing the United States of America and how a nuclear bomb is going to detonate. And so I'm watching this and I'm saying, oh, this is an exhibit of the timing. Because I was going to Revelation that there was a day, an hour, a year, a month, and a day prepared. So I got it down to the hour between 9 and 10. And in this History Channel, the actual documentary, again, 9:30 a.m., bomb goes off in Washington, D.C. So I watched that on September 28th. I watched it the next day. I invited friends to watch it. I said, look, this is what we've been talking about. My friends watched it in Northwest Arkansas. We got here on October 4th. Again, on that very day, they were showing it again. And I watched it again. I said, oh, my God, here it is again. Then September 10th, 11th came. Days, I thought, nothing happened. October 16th, History Channel played it again. And they played it twice on those 2 days. On the 4th and the 16th. Twice, total of six times, when I was watching this nuclear bomb go off in Washington, D.C. You couldn't have been more convinced. I was shocked. I couldn't believe that I was watching what I was watching. Well, you know the rest of the story. The rest of October came and went. No actual event took place. It appeared as though I had picked up what was going on in the spiritual realm with a documentary I never knew about. And I was getting it. I was picking it up. But I was wrong. Nothing actually happened. And my life went into an absolute tailspin. An absolute tailspin. I had considered stepping down from the ministry. I was attacked on the internet. I was called names. Now, prior to that, the 90% accuracy rate, that just went right out the window. And thousands of pages of writing. And all of a sudden, it was over for me. And I thought, oh, my God, how could I have been utterly convinced? I was being sincere. My heart was pure in the matter. I watched it happen on television. I mean, it was just there. And again, 20 times every program times 6 is 120, I guess, times. 100 images of a nuclear bomb going off in D.C. I'm watching it in September, October. At 9:30, the exact time, what is this? But none of that mattered. And I went through a 5-year walking through the fire because I was devastated. I was dumbfounded. I was at a place in my life of thinking, oh, my God. And do you remember when they were throwing stones at David, that man was throwing stones? And the one guy said, let me go kill him. David said, let him alone. It's of the Lord. When I was getting attacked and my name was brought through on the internet, and I was being called all kinds of things, I did not have any function to defend myself. Zero. But I of people calling me up who had been in the ministry, Rick Wiles, David, what's his name from Living Bread Ministry, David Eels, talked with some other people, Brother Don Huddle called me, anything down, and all these ministers started saying no. The church around me said, no, you've got to keep going. And I was devastated. I can't even tell you the level of devastation in my spirit, but it took a long time. My point of telling you that, because again, I wasn't trying to get a reputation. I wasn't trying to do anything. I was picking things up and I believed it. So if anybody had a reasonable doubt right now about anything happening in November, even though we got the Isaiah 47:11. We got Amos chapter 8 in 2019 and said it's probably going to happen in 2020. We saw David or Dana Coverstones. I mean, all the evidence in. I'm telling you something. The evidence that I was picking up in 2019 was more intense than anything right now. I mean, it's really intense. I mean, there's people picked up, but we've learned a little bit along the way, haven't we? So if anybody were going to step back and say, nah, you know, I just not going. I would have a right to do that, and I don't do that. Sensing in my spirit, in the quickening of my heart, is don't do that. Watch, observe, and prepare for the worst. And you could hope for the best, whatever you want, whatever you hope. Ultimately, is that all Bible prophecy will be fulfilled, and that the kingdom of Jesus will come and serve. My hope is that we'll get on the program. I think that's your hope, too. I mean, we're seeing prophetic signs in our generation, like becoming a nation, traveling all over the world, technological explosions. We're seeing the Bible come alive before our very eyes, and yet we have to be super cautious. And so a part of me is sitting back, maybe with that memory of now, what was that, 2009, 11 years ago, thinking, remember, it's not slowing me down. Things ready. I'm not wanting to be silly or idiotic or stupid by going, you're fighting. I feel very strong unction as I did in 2009, but I'm tempering it by not getting a date or an hour or a month. Something, obviously, other people picking up, there seems to be a witness. I'm sharing what I get with our church because there are people in our congregation that I could bounce off of. I've learned to submit myself and things that I know to other people. We bounce them off, but there's no date setting. There does seem to be, waves are very real. I believe there will be more waves. Two of them have come to pass already. One of them was absolutely predicted before it ever came to pass. So we're but what do we do waiting? So now that we're watching, now that we're waiting, what do we do? Well, what I hear God say, number one, tie up loose. And I guess that was the time, over a year ago, they were all planning for a super pestilence, a super plague. Well, it came out in February in the U.S., and here we have this corona that shook to a degree. We'd all be going through scenarios, getting things done, getting prepared, and not allow the deception of, yeah, well, I've heard it is a very biblical deception. You go to 2 chapter 3, and in the last days, mockers will come saying, all things all happening from the beginning of time. So again, you have to peer into things and make sure that you're not going to allow deception to get into you and just ignore. Because if you're ignoring to any degree, you may as well just ignore it to every degree. I mean, if nothing's going to happen, then nothing's going to happen. Like nothing's going to happen. But if there is a warning, if there is a commodity or a community of believers that are picking up the same thing, if you're looking at things from a biblical lens and things seem to be a certain way, you can't ignore it. I don't think we should ignore it. And so we're not. And we're in our lives, Patricia and I personally are living the best time of our lives right now. We are just in the one of our membership. We are having fun together, and we nothing extravagant, luxurious. We just have simple things that bring joy. The presence of God, studying the Word of God. The Lord's blessed us with some land. He's blessed us with some things. We're preparing, we're sharing, we're doing everything we do to make the body of Christ, and we're pastors. So we're not running around with solemn faces, staying up all night, these wild dreams last night. You know, we're not running around in fear, but we are taking seriously the times we're living in. And we are tying up our own loose ends. And we're not going to get in a decision and say, man, I'm not going to say a word. We are watchmen. We have been sent to the wall, and we're to watch. And I refuse not to watch. Back in 2009, as a watchman, I saw something. And what I saw showed up on the television screen. But it didn't happen in the real world. And some people would say, thank God people prayed. I don't know the truth. Not. I have no idea. But I've allowed God to take care of my heart in this issue. I've received all mercy and all grace from my Father. I know He loves me. I know He's with me. So I'm moving on, and I'm picking this up. These four sore judgments, these four waves. I believe that Dana Coverstone has the right message. I believe it's true. I believe something is going to happen. I believe the election is probably going to be the ignition. Could it all be flat? It could be. Could it all be nothing? Could be. Could Trump win the election and everything just Amy Barrett go to the Supreme Court, four more years of Donald J. Trump with no issues, you know, shutting down all this Antifa garbage and all this BLM garbage, shutting it down, and all lives matter being promoted, a promotion of life and new laws, you know, tearing down Roe versus Wade, getting rid of the Obamacare, you know, situation everybody's still concerned about. Could it all turn around? Yes, it all could turn around. And then what would we do? Well, we'd have to sit back and say, okay, Father God, you showed us a lot of things in the Word. We were looking at your Word, how you dealt with nations, how you dealt with Egypt, how you dealt with Israel, how you dealt with Babylon, how you dealt with Syria, how you dealt with Greece, how you dealt with Rome, how you've dealt with nations through all time, which we're to learn from. And we are a nation that murdered over 90 million babies. We sponsored over 500 million through taxpayer dollars around the world. We lit up the White House with the rainbow colors, waving a fist in your face on June 30th, 2015, promoting homosexuality, lesbianism. We've let pornography run rampant in our society. We've seen rebellion, drug addiction, violence in our land. We've seen hatred against God, blasphemy everywhere. So everything's going to be okay. What would that have been? Well, all the Christians got there. They humbled themselves. They fell on their faces. They were broken in genuine repentance and begged God for mercy for their own lukewarm walk, their own compromised walk, their own level of dissatisfaction, or, you know, just using church to appease the conscience, whatever. Something must have happened if nothing's going to happen. And you have to look around right now and go, okay, what am I looking at? Is it the tens of thousands of people that are on telephone calls praying every day for the president to win so that he could overthrow Roe versus Wade? Well, who knows? Some people say, well, why didn't you go after it in the first 4 years? And someone would say, well, there weren't enough Supreme Court justices to do it. We need to make sure when we go after this thing, we're all set. So there's a lot of that. But isn't the idea to get something so pure, so accurate, so right, and be able to say, this is what is going to happen, you need to prepare. Jesus did that. Jesus and his generation said, not one stone will be left upon another. And he described in detail events that were going to happen then, and the events will happen in the future. The question is the timing. Now, if everything goes flat in the realm of preparation and everything goes really good and Obama goes to prison, Hillary goes to prison, Schumer goes to prison, Pelosi goes to prison, Dianne Feinstein is off the bench. The Republicans take the House. The Republicans take the Senate. They dominate in the Congress. They dominate in the Supreme Court. They dominate in the judiciary. And all of a sudden,
all these conservative Republicans have a Christian experience. They have enlightenment. They awaken to the glory of God. They begin to pass laws. People are, they act up, but they're called immediately because of the power of the police force that is now going to uphold the righteous laws of God Almighty. And it's going to be a Romans 13 in America. And everybody ought to obey that godly power. And all the unrighteous, evil, wicked people ought to fear that power, because it's now all the promotion of the God laws. Could that happen? Sounds great. And then we may as well go on with a reset in debt cancellation. And I mean, just a new era of prosperity and a new era of righteousness and a new era of God's glory just shining back in our universities. We get rid of the professors. We get Hollywood out of the way. We shut it down. We lock it up. We get rid of all those communists that are there and those liberals that are there and those progressives that were saturating the minds. We outlaw pornography. We make it illegal to be homosexual again. We go back and we clean it all up. Is that the time we're in? What I feel like I'm describing is the millennium. I believe what I'm describing is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And the God's people living in the last days should not be, you know, thinking that somehow America and all the nations are going to go back without the return of the Lord. Because the Bible is emphatic that in the last days, evil men would wax worse and worse. That in the last days, there would be a global world government, an antichrist would come to power and contend with the saints, and they would be powerless for 3.5 years to do anything against that system. So I'm not so sure that that's going to happen with Donald Trump's election, if he were to be elected. I had a dream almost a year ago. And in my dream, well, I think 21 different people were running for the presidency. I had a dream Joe Biden in the election. He was very nervous. He was unnerved, but he won the election. He was down in one of those tunnels walking. I saw him. I looked at him. What color? He won the election. And I woke up, and I didn't know anything before or after. That's all I knew. Well, here we are, and it's boiling down in 2 weeks, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. And nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, today. So what do we think? Okay, what do we think? I believe the scenario I just described to you, again, is what every single born-again, spirit-filled Christian should be longing for. But here's the difference. In the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, it's not going to be the people that are running the world right now. It's going to be people like you and I. You're going to rule over 5 cities, and you're going to rule over 10 cities. Or you're going to sit with me in my throne. You're going to be in my actual cabinet when I set up my judiciary in Jerusalem. When I set up my headquarters in Jerusalem, you're going to sit with me on benches. You're going to sit with me as judges. You're going to see, you see, it's the overcomers. It's those who love Jesus. It's the little old lady that really just loves Jesus and has given her life to prayer, like Anna in the temple. It's the elderly men that just, they can't really do much physically. They love God. They're interceding and they're praying and they're honoring the Lord with their daily walk. It's the housewife that's raising her children, but in love with Jesus Christ. It's the dad that's not a multimillionaire, but he's working every day to put food on the table, but he loves God. When nobody's watching, he's in prayer. I believe that God has a people that he's preparing to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in glorified bodies, bodies that will never get sick, bodies that will never die. And the righteousness of Christ will flood the nations of the earth, and the devil will be locked up for 1,000 years, and the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the day I'm looking for. Not a day where you have 4 years, one president, and then the next 4 years, somebody else comes in, like Barack Obama. No. There's something has to happen right now that has to be understood right now. Things are going to go way south before they're going to get better. And the only better for this world is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus. Well, this is what I believe the word is. But it's not stopping me. Nothing going on in this world right now is preventing me from living a life with my best friend, Patricia, with the things that God has given us. I am not deprived, is what I'm trying to say. We're not extravagant people. We don't have so much that, you know, we could sit back and say, well, bigger will be people. No. We have ourselves and to help other people along the way. We live to get ready and prepare. What I'm telling you is our soul and spirit is intact with our bodies. We're healthy. We're a little tired. That's why we're out here getting some rest. But we're healthy. We're soulically, we're spiritually tuned in, praise God. And we're living day by day. Like Jesus said, live one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. So each day we're finding joy. And I know that when you're in that place, you could live in Timbuktu and find joy in moments. You don't have to have stuff to enjoy your life. We know that. You could go out hiking and enjoy your life. One of the best things to do is go hiking. You'd be creating. You could do that. So, again, these are my thoughts. The second thing, tying up loose ends, is what I said, and it gets to a dream I had last night. And this is a warning to all of God's kids. The Bible says, in your patience, possess your souls. In your patience, possess your souls. That's Luke 21. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean wait for the really hard times to come and then possess your soul. No. Every single day, you and I, through patience, possess our soul. Why is this critical right now? Well, in the book of Revelation, during the Great Tribulation, it's saying, here is the patience of the saints. They have faith, right? The patience is not to get involved in things prematurely. And what I'm hearing in the dreams that I had last night, we have to live under the radar. I'm telling you now, we have to live under the radar, unnoticed, until we show up to be noticed. In other words, live under the radar, not even seen, covered in the spiritual realm, but then we go to the store, somebody has a heart attack, well, now it's time to run over and lay hands on the individual, raise them up, let the glory of God manifest forth. We're supposed to do. But I do believe it's time to live under the radar. While we're diving, we should get under the radar. While we're shopping, we should be under the radar. When we're out there in the world conducting ourselves, we should be under the radar. We should be manifesting good fruit. We should do things. We should be kind and gentle. And we need to be patient when people go 35 miles an hour in the 70-mile-an-hour zone. We need to learn to back off. And I'm telling you, because in my dream last night, I saw something that was terrifying. And it was because somebody in this dream got in front of somebody on the road. And the person they got in front of was a very evil person. And this very evil person followed these people to where they were. And two men got out of the vehicle. The person that cut them off was apologizing. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. But they didn't want to hear anything about that. And before I know it, and I don't want to get into the description, the greatest violence, the greatest evil broke out. It was absolutely terrifying. And his dream just going and escalating. I'm telling you, back way down right now. I'm telling you that the tones that you speak with your mouth, you need to back way down right now. All of us, back way down and develop the ability. Develop the tone of gentleness. King David was one of the most powerful men ever, and he said, thy gentleness has made me great. Stop talking tough guy talk or tough girl talk. Go very low. Go about your business. Tie up loose ends. Go about your business and go very low. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. And if I were to put it all together, I would say, walk cautiously, walk humbly before God. He'll exalt in due season. Love mercy. Do justly, like the word of God says to do. There's a lot of signs right now. Don't ignore them. Pay attention to them. Watch. prepare for the worst, hope for the best, whatever that is. Let your fellowship with one another take on a tone. You know, we're doing a study at New Book of Acts, and I have the whole church get into the Book of Acts because here's what God said He's going to do. He's going to do in the Book of Acts the double portion. So we're positioning ourselves. You look at our manifest while the church was being persecuted. The whole Book of Acts is a story about people getting filled with the Holy Spirit and then trouble coming against the church. Massive persecution, arrest, all kinds of things. Religious people coming against, Roman Empire coming against, all of it. And so I believe God is going to duplicate the Book of Acts with a double power, but I believe it's going to happen in an hour globally, not just in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but all over the world. And the more sophisticated armies of the beast are going to be activated to quench, to stop out, to stop what's going to be happening. So I believe that's an accurate picture of the Book of Acts for us. And so if you have any questions or comments about what you're hearing, I'd love to listen to the test. You could call, or you could, if you're already listening by phone, press 1 on your dial, and I'll bring you in the conversation. We've got about 12 minutes before we go. If you have been listening to this conversation, it's coming through loud and clear. If you have a question, a comment, something to add to what we're talking about, again, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial, and I'll bring it into the podcast. Now, I'm on a different system here, thanks to your friend, Bob. Even though we're in really touchy territory where I can't use Facebook or YouTube, but I think I'm on Blog Talk Radio. Pretty sure I am. So I want to know if this works. If somebody calls in, I'll be able to tell if you are able to do that or not. So again, if you're listening right now, press 1 on your iPad. You could say, hey, Vince, that was great. 818-369-0326. Maybe you don't know. I'm hoping that we are. We've got about 11 minutes left in the broadcast. If you're listening by phone, 1 on your phone will bring into the conversation. So, God helps to get into your spirit while we're moving. We're waiting for your call. 1-800-326. And I'll know that you're wanting to come into the podcast. All right, so I'm going to give that just a moment to see if this system is actually working. Okay, there's a bunch of there. Here we go. Let's see how this works for us. 79321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello, Pat.
Hello. Hello there. Phil, how are you?
Good. You're breaking up real badly, so I didn't get much of the message.
I was breaking up the whole time?
On Blog Talk. Maybe you need a better antenna in your RV or wherever you are.
Okay. That's what I need to hear. Thank you so much. How are you doing today besides that? You doing good?
I can't understand.
Okay, I'll let you go. God bless you. All right. Everybody else out there, are you getting a little scrappy message? So, Phil was saying we were coming through our 69036 first one dial. And well, as soon as Phil actually called in, we lost about 3 or 4 calls just off. So I'm not sure what I'll do. I'll let it go for now. And our deep apologies if we were coming through breaking up. We'll talk again, Lord willing, tomorrow. This is Pastor Vince. Shalom, everybody. God bless you.